Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, it has been yet another eventful week. Think about all that has transpired. A natural disaster striking the coast of Louisiana and Texas. Hurricane Laura, a Category 4 hurricane, causing incredible damage to the livelihood and home and property. This comes on the heels of another natural disaster not too far away from here, just south of us in Iowa. Farmers and people are still rebuilding and recovering after a terrible windstorm that came through Iowa, destroying farmland and all sorts of property. Add to that what has happened to our east in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Another merciless shooting, 7 times in the back of a man. This sparking unrest, racial injustices again rising up to the surface, and then added to it, peaceful protesters shot down by someone who appeared to think he was a part of some militia, and then more rioting and looting, even affecting Minneapolis, picking at that scab that seems to be so wounded in our city not far from here. We've just concluded the Republican National Convention after the Democrat National Convention. We see again how our parties at times vilify each other to a point where we wonder, where will that divide go any deeper? It's a great reminder to us to continue to exercise that right to vote. Added to all of this, we are entering into the 6th month of our global pandemic. Now our concerns are around our children returning to school, teachers, safety, a host of concerns. It has been an eventful week. If we think about the grand scale of things, the world and all of these happenings, it can be a bit overwhelming. Add to it, perhaps you have come to this time of worship with your own concerns that feel like they weigh heavily on your soul and spirit. I don't know about you, but there are times when I shake my head and I wonder, what is this world coming to? So then, this scripture reading, this gospel message from the Gospel of John, such familiar words offer balm, healing, hope, and comfort to our weary souls. You know the words very well. You could probably speak them along with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. As important, I believe, is the next verse, 3:17. Indeed, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. What is this world coming to? Well, that may be the feeling in our spirit at times, but today we are reminded of what the world has come to. For what has come into the world is the gift of love. Love in its fullest form in Jesus himself. Love made visible in God entering into our world's suffering and pain, offering redemption not only for you and for me, but for the cosmos, for the world itself. 1 John chapter 4 helps us understand the degree to which God's love has transformed the world, what God has done for us. In chapter 4, we hear that promise of love looks like this. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. Amidst all of the divisiveness, amidst all of the unrest in our world, the gospel of John, that gospel in a nutshell, as Martin Luther would say, that clear reminder of what God has done in Jesus. And these words, why they bring us back to a sure and certain footing. What has this world come to? We come to this promise, and it sets us on a good foundation, a foundation of love, pure love. And isn't that what the world needs? In the 1970s, singer Dionne Warwick sang a song that you probably have heard before. It is one that was then revisited by the Coca-Cola campaign later on in the 70s. Oh, I see nods over here. You know that song, written by Burt Bacharach and Hal David. The simple refrain says, "What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, just not for one, but for everyone." It is what our world needs. God understands this need for love in our world. In fact, as we take time in these months of the summer to talk through faith, hope, and love, as we rest in that gift of love in this month, we discover all the dimensions of love that God offers to you and me. God's faithful and steadfast love begins with a love that in Greek is called agape love, a love that is unconditional, a love that is of its highest form. Agape love is the love that God is able to give in perfection through Jesus Christ for us. It is a love so high we cannot fully achieve it, and yet, beloved, we are called to love one another, reflecting this kind of love given in Jesus himself. This agape love is given to us most purely and specifically in the gift of our baptism. When we come to the font, we are gifted this love by pure grace. There are no strings attached. There are no hidden fees, no fine print. It is pure love poured out. We are named and claimed in those waters. That promise is forever. Pastor David Loos, who currently serves at Mount Olivet Lutheran Church in Minneapolis, tells a story of how one time his parishioners asked him to preach about infant baptism. Why is it that we as Lutherans advocate for infant baptism? Why is that part of our practice, part of the sacrament? Well, he wanted to explain that in many ways this is quite scandalous, the fact that we have no decision to make when we come to the font, but that decision is made for us. That God does adopt us completely into the family of faith, gives us promises for a lifetime and even in eternal life. He ended the sermon by saying, "Perhaps we should add to the baptismal liturgy that we baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit," and then tack on these words, "whether you like it or not." Well, after that sermon, there was a parishioner named Tom who wanted to have a few moments with Pastor Loos. He said, "You know, what you just talked about in your sermon, it's something that I resonated with, because let me tell you a story about what happened this last week." He said his son Benjamin, who was 6 years old at the time, well, Benjamin was protesting his bedtime. Now, this happens, as you know, as a parent, but Tom was adamant that it was bedtime and was not going to budge. Little Benjamin was so frustrated, so angered by this, pushed and pushed, until finally he erupted by saying, "I hate you, Daddy." Well, as a parent, that strikes to the core. Tom had the presence of mind in that moment to keep his calm and then to thoughtfully respond, "I'm sorry you feel that way, Ben, but I love you." Little Benjamin responded, "Don't say that." Tom thought for a moment and said, "Ben, it's true. I love you. Don't say that, Daddy. Don't say that. Benjamin, I love you. Don't say it. Stop, Daddy. Stop saying that," protested little Benjamin. Finally, Tom sat down next to his son, put his arm around his son, looked him deep in the eye, and said, "Benjamin, I love you, like it or not." You see, even at 6 years old, little Benjamin knew that in the face of unconditional love, he was powerless. Had Tom at any point made that love conditional, said, "You know, Ben, I will love you if you go to bed nicely," why then, now little Benjamin is a player, isn't he? Oh, he can manipulate his daddy any way he wants to. He can ask for perhaps a little more love if he ate his vegetables the next day, or perhaps if he got a good grade, and on it goes. But no, Tom was firm in the promise of love. Nothing would change that, whether his son abided or not. Certainly there could be consequences, but that love would not change. And so it is for us in our relationship with God. Were God to make God's love conditional, why then we could manipulate all we wanted to, now couldn't we? What we did, what we wanted, oh, we could certainly have a good time with that in our own selfish ways. But that promise is sure. That confidence in that promise helps us to have the freedom to live fully, even though it may seem like it is something that we have no control over, which we do not. Ultimately, Jesus makes a choice. God makes a choice through Jesus for you. He says, "I am for you, no matter what." That promise is the lifeblood of what it means to be a Christian in this world. A promise of love that we cannot mess up, no matter what. And how does that then change the way that we interact with a world in need? When we consider the events of our day, when we respond to this gift of love, our responsibility is not to prove to God how worthy we are because of our actions towards others. No, we do not become managers of God's love, deciding who gets God's love and who does not. We become messengers of that love. Maybe that message is what you personally need to hear this morning. Perhaps you feel unworthy of God's love. And yet God whispers into your ear once again, "You are forgiven. I have called you by name. I offer you my grace. There are no strings attached. I love you, like it or not." Likewise, as we consider this world, to know that God's love is poured out for us individually, but we are reminded that it is poured out for the world. We discover indeed that God loves this world, whether we like it or not. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that God first loved us. Beloved, let us love one another. Amen.